Welcome, everybody, once again to another episode of SLMA Radio, brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. That has to do with sales lead management and sales lead marketing. It probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show. Today, as always, we're privileged to have with us the founder and executive director of the SLMA, the one and only Jim Overmeyer. Hey, Jim.
Thank you, Paul Roberts. Paul is our producer for all things on the Funnel Radio Channel. Our subject today is the five most important things Kevin Joyce has learned in business and life. Kevin Joyce is the CMO, Vice President of Strategy Services at the Pedowitz Group. Last year, he was named one of SLMA's top 40 most inspiring in B2B lead generation. It's very interesting. Not only has he got a background in sales and a background in marketing, he holds a BS in engineering from the University of Limerick and an MBA in marketing from the University of Portland. Kevin, welcome to our program today.
Thank you very much, Jim. Happy to be here.
Well, my first one, and I've tried to pick things that overlap both life and business. So lessons I've learned in life that I apply to business and lessons I've learned in business that I apply to life. And my first one, when I was 22, so just newly out of college, my best friend from high school, Mark, died of leukemia. It was very sad, but it taught me a very important lesson that life is short, that you really have to believe in carpe diem. You have to get out there and do things. Ever since then, I have done my best to carpe diem, seize the day, and that applies to both life and to business. Jeffrey Gittimore wrote his little red book of sales, and in it he says, you got to wake up in the morning and kick your own rear end, right? You've got to be self-motivated to get up and go. So I'm the sort of person, I'd rather be out doing sports than sitting in on my couch and TV watching sports. It's a get up in the morning and just get out there and do it. And that absolutely applies to marketing and to business in general.
Tell me how it applies to marketing and sales. On in your career, did you spend your time in sales and then marketing or the other way around?
Actually, I was an engineer, believe it or not, early on for the first 6 years. I designed computers. And it really was one of those things where you had to get up in the morning and deal with difficult problems. I'm not necessarily an Arnold Schwarzenegger fan, but he said something once I thought was interesting. He said, I run towards danger. And, you know, it's a good perspective, which is you can't, in the fight or flight, you can't run away from these issues. When you get up in the morning, you actually want to tackle the thing that's hanging over you worst first and just deal with it. And so that's part of seizing the day. And so in marketing and business, absolutely, we come up with problems where we have clients that have changed their expectations or we have business things that don't go right and we have to go solve them. And it's important to seize them, to run towards that danger and deal with it.
Rather than avoid it and put it off till tomorrow or some other time, and then you're paying a price, a bigger price later. Seneca's book on the shortness of life talked about this, about seizing the day. And he said, we have plenty of time in life if we choose the things that we'd like to do. He talks about people who have said, well, when I retire, I'm going to do this and do that. And we've heard stories about people who, when they retire, die 3 months later. They never got to ski. They never got to take that great trip with their wives or husbands. So it sounds like you learned that early in life and you've never quite forgot your friend, and that is great. What about item number two? What else have you learned?
Item number two, you know, comes from Jim Collins, his book, Good to Great. And in there he talks about finding your hedgehog, and I won't explain how and why he calls it the hedgehog, but the concept is in both in business and in life, how you choose what you should focus your energies on. And so he said, imagine, if you will, a Venn diagram with three overlapping circles. And each of the three circles, you're putting a set of things. So the first circle is all of the things you're passionate about. The second circle is all of the things that you're truly good at. And the third circle is the things that you can be profitable at or that are rewarding if you apply it to your personal life. And so where those three circles overlap, the nexus, that's what you need to focus on for your business. That's your hedgehog, the one thing you're really good at because you're passionate about it, you're good at it, and it's going to be profitable for your business. And that applies, I think, to both business decisions as well as personal life decisions, what you're going to go do and spend time on in your life. So it plays nicely into our carpe diem discussion as well.
Well, it's somewhat similar to the theory of the 10,000 hour theory, that anything you spend 10,000 hours on, you'll become good at, sports or whatever the case might be. And if you spend enough time at it, by the 10,000 hours as you spend time learning. You just don't become a salesperson and never read another sales book. You don't become a marketer and never try to improve. You constantly try to improve. What's your third item?
So my third item is about leadership. And it's, you know, I've been in management since 1996. So I have a lot of years of leading people. And you remember those posters that people put up on their walls and their inspirational posters? And one of them is of these horses running wild. And the inspirational quote at the bottom says, "The speed of the pack is dictated by the speed of the leader." I really dislike that poster because leaders lead from both in front and behind. Right. And so my life lesson that applies to this, and I'll bring it back to business, but the life lesson that applies to this, I'm in a member of the Mazamas, a mountaineering team. And whenever you go mountaineering, there's always a leader in front and there's a co-leader behind, because you don't want to arrive back at the parking lot and find that you've left some people behind. And at one point, my wife, who was a climb leader, and I did a mountaineering first aid class. After 6 weeks of training, because it's very intensive, you go out and you do a hike with your team, with your leader, and you come across an accident. Not a real accident, but, you know, they had staged it, and there was another climbing party there with all sorts of fake wounds. And in the process of helping them, because this was the final test for our mountaineering class, my wife starts going a little crazy and starts doing things that were not good, like taking off her thermals and everything. And I finally realized what was going on is that they had made her a ringer because she'd been through the class before, and she was testing our leader. And sure enough, our leader wasn't focused on taking care of us, wasn't making sure that another rockfall or avalanche wasn't going to kill us. He was off helping one of the victims. And so we all passed the test, but he failed. And so the lesson in business is that your employees, the people who work for you, they take care of the clients. They take care of the project. Your job as the leader is to take care of them. And it's an important lesson. And so I try very hard. I lead from the front by setting the vision, setting the goals. Here's where we're going. And then I get behind and I make sure I don't leave anybody behind. And I make sure that people have a positive attitude towards each other, that they're supporting each other, that the team is going to win. And I call that leading from behind.
Leading from behind. They connect. Let's go to number four.
So number four, again, I was inspired by a book, Malcolm Gladwell's Tipping Point. And in that book, he talks about what you need to set up a business. And he said you need mavens, the really smart people. You need connectors, a.k.a. networkers. And you need salespeople. And I did. I started a business about 14 years ago. And I thought, you know, I'm the maven. I had the sales guy. I had the networker. And it didn't work. We actually made a reasonable small business, but we were missing one thing. And I realized it pretty quickly. We were missing an operations expert. And in my life, I mean, as an engineer, I understood perfectly well I would not be successful without a really good project manager, the quote operations person beside me. And I've always had great operations people. And in my current role with Pedowitz Group, my boss, Bruce Culbert, was the chief operations officer for Salesforce.com before they went public and traveled the world for 2 years setting up their worldwide service operations. He understands operations, and I have learned so much from him. So my lesson in life and in business is it's not enough to be the smart person. It's not enough to have the salesperson, the connector. You need somebody who really understands how to run the operation. And to close on that point, because I'm not a great operations guy. 24 years ago, I met and married a project manager, and our home operation runs flawlessly.
Very good. So it's not enough to be a smart person. You have to have the operations manager to make it all work. And I realized this when I was VP of sales at a company, a very difficult company, a very political company, and I had the best possible operations manager who saved my life a dozen times. Without him, I would have been chopped meat in front of the board on a regular basis. So,
and you know, this is timely for you and I, Jim, because marketing operations is coming of age now. And it's really fascinating to watch large corporations build marketing operations and try and define that role. And I really understand and identify with that. And because it's a focus of my firm at the Pedowitz Group, I think it's great that we help so many companies figure this out, because it's so important to success.
Let's dig into this operations manager position just a little bit. I think today, if I were starting my career over again, one of the things that I would aim for would be the operations manager of a Fortune 100 company, the marketing operations manager. That's what I would be looking forward to, because I like all of those aspects of being that operations manager. And I know the Pedowitz Group is spending a lot of time at that. Could you want to expand that a little bit more?
Yeah, in that if you think about it, right, there's three big problems facing marketing today. There's accountability, right? More and more CMOs are being held accountable for influencing revenue. There's the digital transformation, right? Because the customers have moved to digital properties and engaging with you digitally, we marketing have to deal with the 5,000 plus technologies that help us respond. And so we're going through a digital transformation at the buyer and at the vendor level. And then thirdly, there's the customer experience, right? It's becoming paramount if you're to engage properly. And so when marketing is faced with these three huge challenges, accountability, digital transformation, customer experience, who best is going to help respond to this? Which of the marketing functions? And the answer, of course, is marketing operations, because they deal with the technology. They deal with the customer experience, the content operations, the analytics and reporting and the budgeting and the planning, all of those things are done as a function. They're centralized under marketing ops because they can be done better when you centralize that set of expertise. But it's a new concept for so many firms.
Well, I think it's a concept that they're going to have to tackle, and we're beginning to see it in the biggest companies, and it's moving its way down into the medium-sized companies. But as you say, those 5,000 technologies that they're confronted with, I've heard that an average salesperson interacts with about 6 or 8 different software programs in order to do their job. I've heard also that marketing's IT budget is exceeding that of the IT budget of, for the rest of their corporations.
Yep.
So it's quite interesting, and Pedowitz seems to be right up in the forefront of discussing this in your whole revenue marketing approach. What is item number 5?
So item number 5 is, you know, it comes from backpacking. So I do a lot of rafting, a lot of backpacking, a lot of skiing, a lot of the outdoor things. And in backpacking, they say you pack for your fears. If you're afraid of being cold, you'll pack more warm clothes. If you're afraid of going hungry, you'll pack more food. So I go on a, you know, 2-nighter, I'll have 50 pounds because I probably have packed a little extra for being cold and a little extra food and beverages. And the same is true in business. We tend to pack our fears with us. And it's not, you know, I'm not suggesting don't have fears. We all have fears and we will have fears. It's a matter of controlling the fears. It's a matter of managing the fears, right? Because you don't want the fight or flight impulse coming from the amygdala, right? Because that will shove you into an emotional state where you can't rationally address issues. And so you have to manage your fear. So if you're afraid of losing your job, or you're afraid of not getting the promotion, or you're afraid of your team failing, you have to deal with that in a rational way. Recognize those fears, but manage it. And don't be afraid to make mistakes. And so, you know, I love John Wheeler's quote from many years ago. He's a physicist. He said, an expert is somebody who's made all the mistakes already. And so it's okay to make mistakes. You can't be afraid of making them. You learn from them. You just don't repeat them.
So you're saying, are you saying don't pack for your fears in marketing?
I'm saying it manage it. So you can bring a little bit of extra clothes and you can bring a little bit of extra food, but don't let it overwhelm you. Because if you let your fear overwhelm you, you'll be afraid to take risks. You'll be afraid to raft that Class 4 rapid. You'll be afraid to jump off that cornice and into a fabulous field of powder. You know, you can't allow your fears to control you. And so recognize you have them, but manage them, and manage them in a rational way. And, you know, deal with the fight or flight impulse. Don't be pushed into emotional arguments with people. Stay calm, stay rational.
Is this why marketing management so often doesn't dig into the return on investment for their marketing lead generation programs? They don't dig into that investment to find out what really happened. They don't really dig into why salespeople aren't following up. They don't really dig into all the technologies they could find because they're fearful of what they'll find, either because they don't have the knowledge, they don't have the marketing operations manager. They're afraid somebody's going to find out that they're a fake. What's your thought?
No, I would boil it down to the analytics. All of the things you just said, there's a lot of marketing people who are not necessarily strong in analytics. They were strong in other areas, and they are concerned that if they truly got into the analytics of some of the places they're investing money, that it wouldn't give a positive return. And I would flip that on its head and say, imagine that you're going to discover all the ways it won't work. Isn't that what Thomas Edison said? After testing 5,000 different ways to make the light bulb work, somebody said he'd failed 5,000 times. And he said, no, I found 5,000 ways it won't work. And that's what analytics is about. It's about quickly finding what isn't working so you can move to what is working. And we should not be afraid of that.
I've got one more question to spring on you. We've been speaking with Kevin Joyce, the CMO and head of strategy, strategies over at the Pedowitz Group. And I'm going through my notes, and I've got one more question to spring on you here, Kevin. Who are the mentors in your life?
Well, I would have to say my current boss, Bruce Colbert, of the last 7.5 years, he has been absolutely just a great source, a great guide, and very calm, smooth person. And he's one of those people who understands how to support the team and lead from in front and behind. So he's been a fabulous mentor. I had another boss, got 25, 30 years ago, Ross, who was in marketing. And he absolutely gave me a lot of great advice on how to work with the VP of engineering, you know, to manage a $100 million budget. And so just great business people in general. I mean, there's obviously people I look up to in the industry, but I haven't known. But those are two that I knew and absolutely influenced how I approached business and life. And I think the other part is you can't separate your life from business. So the experiences I get in rafting and skiing and hiking absolutely apply to how I approach business and vice versa. And I don't try and separate those two.
Kevin Joyce, you've been very open today about your experiences in life, and you've got a great background there. So you covered how life is short and you believed in carpe diem. You looked at do things that you're really good at. You looked at also leading from behind.
From in front and behind.
Front and behind. I didn't put the and there. It's not enough to have smart people, but you need an operations manager. And you found that operations is a big help for you. And then you talked about how so many people pack for their fears, and you have to manage your fears in marketing and in sales in order to be a good manager and a good employee. Kevin, can you tell us a little bit about the Pedowitz Group before we leave, and then how someone can reach you?
The Pedowitz Group, we're a 10-year-old firm now. We just celebrated our 10th anniversary, and we help firms who are going through that transformation process in their marketing, who have recognized that they want to become accountable, that they have to deal with the digital transformations in the world, that they have to improve customer experience, and that requires them to radically change how they do marketing. And we call that revenue marketing. All the modern form of marketing is revenue marketing, and we help firms make that transformation, select their technologies, design their organization, design the processes, the data, and pull all of that together. And, you know, we like to think that we're helping them become the best marketers in their industry in the world.
How can someone reach you, Kevin?
Simply kevin@pedowitzgroup.com.
Thank you very much, Kevin. We've been speaking with Kevin Joyce, the CMO Vice President of Strategy Services at the Pedowitz Group. He shared with us the 5 most important things he's learned in business and life and how those work together. He shared with us several of his mentors in life and given us great stories and examples. Kevin, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you. All the best, and have a great ski season.
You've been listening to another episode of SLMA Radio, brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. If it has to do with sales lead management or sales lead marketing, it probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show. One of the many shows on the ever-growing Funnel Radio Network for at-work listeners like you.